Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin in a moment and discuss the killing of Osama bin Laden. CIA veteran Robert Baer joins us to question the official story that Pakistani officials were not told in advance of the raid on a fortified compound just north of Pakistan's capital, within a mile or two of Pakistan's equivalent of West Point. Then we'll be joined by a leading expert on Pakistan, Chris Fair, who is a senior fellow with the Counterterrorism Center at West Point. We will discuss the already strained relations between the United States and Pakistan's governments and their militaries and intelligence services to determine whether things could get worse or might even get better. Then Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and President Emeritus of the Council on Foreign Relations, Leslie Gelb, joins us. When we recently spoke, his criticism of Pakistan's apparent duplicity was stinging. So now, after it looks like they've been caught harboring America's most wanted terrorist, we'll see what he has to say. Then finally, we'll look into how and why billions in US aid to Pakistan, meant to improve the hearts and minds situation, has not been spent. Molly Kinder, Senior Policy Analyst and Pakistan Project Director at the Center for Global Development, joins us. I'm now joined by Robert Baer, a veteran CIA operations officer and the author of three New York Times bestsellers, See No Evil, which was made into the movie Syriana, Sleeping with the Devil, and The Devil We Know, Dealing with a New Iranian Superpower. His latest book, co-authored with his wife Dana Baer, is The Company We Keep, a husband and wife's true life spy story. Welcome to Background Briefing, Robert Baer.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very well, thanks. Now, today there's been some interesting announcements on Pakistan's media. Popular news anchors, many of them tied to these ISI spy agency, referred to the late Osama bin Laden as Shahid or martyr. Does that surprise you?
Oh, not at all. I mean, I think, Ian, we almost have to assume that the Pakistanis were protecting him. He was living in a military cantonment area in between three regiments. His front gate abutted a military academy. This is an area that ISI is all over, as is military intelligence. And the chances of a foreigner living in a compound of that size with all that security not coming to their attention, I think, is pretty well zero. You know, who protected him or why, I don't know. And I don't know if we'll ever get the answers. Was it the leadership? Was it, a general in that area? I just simply can't tell you. Was it sheer luck? It could have been, but it's, you know, it's like a black swan in this case. So, you know, he's a popular guy in Pakistan. He's forgotten. They've forgotten about 9/11. And he's looked at as, an Islamic hero that's going to hold back the forces of the infidels. And that's as far as it gets. And the fact that he'd struck the United States, the country deeply unpopular in Pakistan, made him popular.
So and, would that mean, does that mean, though, that the government and the security agencies had a strong reason for staying silent and letting Washington take the credit for this raid because they didn't want to deal with the public backlash?
Well, you know, here is a question of the dog that didn't bark. I mean, normally, if you send in 5-6 helicopters or however many there were into your country, raid a house without telling anybody, you raise your voice. You close the American embassy. You declare somebody persona non grata. You just don't let it pass. I think what happened is the Pakistanis allowed this raid. They got caught protecting bin Laden, or somebody got caught, and they said, all right, come on in, take down the compound, and get out. Don't attach our name to this at all, and we'll just be quiet. This was a finesse that was never going to work. I mean, you get anybody on this radio station who's spent time in the Special Forces, and they'll tell you, you never send 24 SEALs into a hostile area surrounded by military power, you know, and surrounded by units always on full alert. It's on the Indian border, and take your chances. They'll get in and get out. I don't know if you've ever flown on a Black Hawk helicopter, but they are slow, slow, slow. You can see them for hours coming across the Afghan border. You paint them with radar. You could follow them the whole way. I mean, let's forget the Hollywood stuff of sneaking in there like ninjas. You know, Sylvester Stallone was not on those helicopters. This was a well-planned operation, and they didn't take risks. This president, if he did take the risk of sending them in unannounced, he's got more guts or more foolishness than I ever suspected.
Again,
you know, this was too well done.
Again, I'm speaking with Veteran CIA Operations Officer Robert Baer. Now, you in your time in the CIA, you dealt a lot with the Joint Special Operations Command.
I spent 2 years with the Delta Force. I sat at their meeting ad infinitum about coming in with overwhelming force, leaving nothing to risk. You know, they had these AC-130 gunships, these giant Gatling guns that fire a bazillion rounds in a couple minutes just to wipe out any opposition. It's a doctrine. You know, you could find 24 brave people to risk it in a suicide operation, but, you know, that's not a good explanation.
Well, there was, though, back in at the time when bin Laden first struck the African embassies, that the U.S., before Clinton sent cruise missiles at a al-Qaeda training camp, apparently there was a discussion along these lines in the National Security Council about whether or not to inform Islamabad, because they were afraid that the Pakistanis would tip off bin Laden, and they gave them 90 minutes warning, but apparently bin Laden was still tipped off because, as you recall...
Well, I mean, maybe they did a better job this time. They simply showed up at the base, drove up there, unplugged the commander's phone and everybody else's, and called up Washington and say, all right, move now. I mean, there's a lot of ways to do this. I'm just saying that, you know, you get a seal on this radio program, and if you tell you honestly, you know, it'd be a very, very risky operation, and they had to have had some backup other than just the Blackhawks. And I've just been around these operations too long, too many years, to think that they've changed this overnight. Remember Desert One, that fiasco. No president has ever forgotten that. What happened to Jimmy Carter? Probably lost the elections because of it. And the military ever since has built in a lot of redundancy and a lot of support. And again, I say overwhelming firepower. And that's just doctrine.
In this case, they did have a backup helicopter since they
a backup helicopter, you know, a guy with a Heckin Kokler, you know, 10 guys with, you know, against three Pakistani regiments. That just, you know, it's like your police station next door.
Right.
You know, if you're gonna rob a 7-Eleven next door and you just get a machine gun out and start shooting, they're not going to sit in there and hope they don't get shot and hide. They're going to be running out. You're going to get in a firefight, and there's no reason to think that you couldn't expect the same in Pakistan. So, I think it's beyond fantasy.
But Robert Baer, let me try and figure out this then. If this is an inside job, and that the Pakistanis decided, perhaps because the U.S. found out where it was located, and they wanted to take him out, and the Pakistanis didn't want to take responsibility for it, and they didn't want to deal with the backlash from their own people to have helped out the U.S. Why then be caught with him so close to the nation's capital? I mean,
I think it was too late by then. I think once we caught him, we went to the Pakistanis and very politely, not politely maybe, and said, listen, we found an HIV. It's probably bin Laden. We know it. And don't dare move him, because we're watching with satellite, and they can do this stuff through clouds now. And if you warn them, this is going to be casus belli. And they went in with a very strong threat. There were a lot of visits back and forth with Mullen and Chief of ISI back and forth. The Pakistanis probably said, hey, we didn't know he was there. You're right. Let's solve this. They got caught, or the army has divided, and there's a big part of it that's sympathetic to bin Laden, out of control of Islamabad. I mean, it's all speculation at this
mm-hmm.
point.
Well,
everything, every step in here was very obvious, and everything that was done... I applaud the White House going to the Pakistanis, saying we're going to hit this place and you better go along, burying bin Laden at sea so there wouldn't be a grave for people to make a pilgrimage to, getting the DNA. Everything was done very intelligently, and also taking this narrative of we did it by ourselves, completely understandable. I would have done the same thing had I been in.
So you think that there's been a lot of prep for this? Because I noticed that not only did the head of the CIA, Leon Panetta, visit Islamabad recently, A week later, so did Admiral Mullen. So you think that that was, there's quite a distinct possibility that the deal was worked out?
The alternative is the president took an enormous risk and got just catastrophic luck that this went by without anybody going down in that helicopter that did crash, that there was no real rescue helicopters there or and the rest of it. It would just been a very risky behavior. Right. And I don't see this man, as I understand him, taking that risk.
And you don't believe that it's possible to sneak 120 miles into a country.
I know it's not possible. I used to fly Blackhawks into Beirut every single weekend, and the Syrians painted them every single time when we were flying off the ocean at 15, 20 feet, and we could see when they would have a lock on. Onto the Blackhawks, they don't go fast enough. They don't go low enough to miss radar, even in bad weather. The Syrians got lock-ons on our helicopters. Delta used to line like five or six helicopters up, one behind the others. They'd come in as one dot, and that's the best they could do. But helicopters coming from Afghanistan would be picked up by radar, the same quality of radar that the Pakistanis have, and
Again, I'm speaking with the CIA veteran Robert Baer, and just to take the position, though, Robert Baer, that the Pakistanis were hiding him. So let's assume that the U.S. finally, through these couriers and through the way that we've been told, finally found this compound, this very, very big compound, which apparently cost $1 million plus to build. Within 2 miles of the academy, their equivalent of West Point, area full of senior military, retired Pakistani military officers. That in itself, the fact that it's been there prior to the U.S. finding it, and irrespective of whether a deal was done with Pakistan so that the Pakistanis wouldn't feel the heat from their public, the fact remains, this guy is being sheltered by somebody high up in Pakistan, surely.
Oh, absolutely. I don't see any other explanation. I would like somebody intelligent to explain to me why I'm wrong. I mean, I've spent enough time in Pakistan, they notice foreigners, particularly Arabs. And somebody who builds a compound and puts razor wire on the top of it doesn't go unnoticed. You get a knock on the door. And the police and everybody in the area is reporting to the ISI and doing this right in the middle of a part of the Pakistan completely controlled by the government on a front very close to India. Impossible that someone didn't know. And what scares me is that if somebody was protecting bin Laden, and I don't care if it was a captain or a general, how do we know the same generals or captains aren't, doing the same thing with nukes? Taking him away or getting to launch one. I mean, how much, if they can't control a military cantonment, can they control their nukes?
Well, that question is so alarming that one would have to assume that they do because they haven't gone loose yet. So therefore, you have to then assume that the sheltering of bin Laden was done at the highest level.
I would assume, but that's speculation.
Sure.
And I think this came as a surprise to the CIA and the U.S. government. I think that any analyst that had said, maybe the Pakistani government's protecting bin Laden, they'd said this in 2003 or 2004, they would have been laughed out of the conference room. It was unthinkable. It was unthinkable to me. I used to think that bin Laden was dead because he'd gone silent. But little did I realize he was silent because he was in a military cantonment in Pakistan. And that was even more fantastic than he had died. I mean, this is truly a remarkable series of events.
But doesn't it open up some very, very disturbing possibilities? If bin Laden has been protected at the highest level of the Pakistani military and intelligence services, then isn't it possible that all along they've had a relationship?
Well, how do we know how do we know they weren't involved in 9/11?
That's what I was going to get to. I mean, did ISI have prior knowledge of 9/11?
Well, look, here's this. Now we are really getting to conspiracy theories, and I get very nervous And the fact that this raid hadn't occurred where it did, I would never even mention this on the radio or in private because it's so crazy. But yes, I do have that question now, whether ISI had something to do with it. Or the fact why those pilots, the four pilots on 9/11, were capable, whether they'd learned on you know, flight machines or not, they were very capable. Did they get training? You know, this is the whole problem with a country like Pakistan hides something like this, that everything becomes imaginable. And the conspiracy theorists are, you know, you and I do just, we run from them. But now we're just like plopped right down in it, into this insanity. Yeah, it worries me.
Well, I'm at ground zero here, I have to tell you. Again, I'm speaking with Robert Baer, former CIA veteran operations officer. We're trying to speculate on the possibilities, the probability that Pakistan obviously knew about somebody's been sheltering him right near the capital, within 30 miles of the capital. And the implications of this, on the one hand, there's the theory that Pakistan decided to let the Americans do this and take the heat because they didn't want to suffer the backlash with their own people. But that still doesn't remove the fact that Bin Laden's apparently been in this compound since at least 2005. Is that your
understanding? It was built in, and it's about the time he really truly disappeared. And you know, it's in 2007 he made a videotaping. The strange one, his beard was dyed, and the rest of it, and it just got very weird. And it was stop frame, and it was almost as, like I said, as if he had died, and they were manipulating old tape, or someone had control of him to shut him up. Because he's the type of guy that would call into this program now if he was listening to us, you know, because he can't keep his mouth shut. So who was shutting him up?
Right.
Well, now we know.
Well,
I don't know anything, but I'm just speculating.
Sure. So in terms of what we know about the raid, and apparently, I mean, what we're told is that the president and his national security in a circle watched the whole thing live on a big screen, narrated by a senior officer, and they had apparently had a camera on one of the SEALs' helmets. So, what do you make of what we're told that Bin Laden used one of his wives as a shield?
Well, look, if I were sitting down with the president a couple months ago, and he had turned to me and said, "How do I do this?" And I'd say, kill Bin Laden, assassinate him, and say that he fired back or he was attacked. You don't want this guy alive. You never want to put those orders on paper. But the logical thing to do was shoot him, get his body for DNA, take pictures of it, get DNA sampled, and then bury it at sea. Like I said, this was all done according to the book. You know, about the, you know, hiding behind the woman and the rest of it. That, you know, who knows? Or who knows how he was actually caught? You know, what did they catch a courier? With intelligence operations like this, we don't need to know how they did it. And often they'll put out in the press misdirection because we don't need to know. And right. It's a benign lie how they actually caught him.
Right.
But the bigger questions is you and I have just been talking about that are very interesting.
Sure. Well, I thank you for joining us here today in Los Angeles, Robert Baer, and a lot to think about, so enjoy the conversation.
Thank you.
Okay. Again, I've been speaking with Robert Baer, who is veteran CIA operations officer, the author of three New York Times bestsellers, See No Evil, which was made into the movie Syriana, where George Clooney won the Academy Award for portraying Robert Baer, Sleeping with the Devil, about the Saudis, and The Devil We Know, dealing with the new Iranian superpower. His latest book, co-authored with his wife Dana Baer, is The Company We Keep, A Husband and Wife True Life Spy Story. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with Pakistan expert Chris Fair.